Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. 4 days after Hurricane Ian made landfall in the Florida Gulf Coast, residents are still dealing with flooding, and now they're facing the prospect of dwindling food supplies. From member station WUFT, Julia Cooper has more.
With widespread power outages and destruction to homes and stores, Lee County announced the opening of 8 points of distribution, or pods, where residents are able to pick up free food, water, and ice. But at one distribution point, Florida National Guard members ran out of military MREs, or meals ready to eat, by about 11:30 a.m. on Saturday. EMS worker and Cape Coral resident Danielle Rosario was hoping to bring supplies home to her 3 children.
Just even a little bit of water helps at this point, you know.
Rosario was also hoping to bring supplies to the patient she helps transport. Local and state authorities are working to set up more pod locations as supplies become available. For NPR News, I'm Julia Cooper in Cape Coral.
Voters are waiting in long lines throughout Brazil today in one of the most contentious and anticipated presidential elections in recent memory. The leading two candidates are polar opposites, a far-right nationalist hoping to hold on to his job and an elderly leftist who spent time in prison on corruption charges. NPR's Carrie Kahn reports.
Incumbent President Jair Bolsonaro voted early this morning at a school on a sprawling military compound in western Rio de Janeiro. The former army captain discounted the polls, which have him possibly losing by double digits in the first round of voting. He said the most important thing are clean elections. Bolsonaro has repeatedly questioned Brazil's electronic voting system. His chief rival, 76-year-old Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, is hoping for a political comeback. The leftist had his corruption conviction annulled in time to run again. He's remembered for greatly reducing poverty as president. Carrie Kahn, NPR News, Rio de Janeiro.
A riot and stampede at a soccer match in Indonesia last night has killed at least 125 people and injured more than 300. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports.
Fans stormed the field in anger after the home team in Malang lost to a team from Surabaya, both cities in East Java. Police responded with tear gas. Fans stampeded for the exits and dozens were trampled or suffocated. President Joko Widodo ordered Indonesia's Soccer League One suspended pending an investigation into the incident and a review of security procedures. The international soccer governing body FIFA's rules ban police use of tear gas to control crowds at soccer matches. The police countered that rioters were attacking police cars and officers. Making matters worse, match organizers reportedly printed 42,000 tickets for a stadium with a capacity of 38,000. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Seoul.
This is NPR News. Anti-government protests in Iran are now in their third week. They began September 17th over the death of a 22-year-old woman who had been detained by the so-called morality police who were enforcing a strict Islamic dress code. Pope Francis dedicated his Sunday noon address to Ukraine, calling directly on Russian President Vladimir Putin to end a war that carries what the Pope said is the absurd risk of nuclear escalation. NPR's Sylvia Pagioli reports.
Pope Francis spoke to a crowd of thousands in St. Peter's Square.
Il mio appello si rivolge innanzitutto al presidente della Federazione Russa.
My appeal goes above all to the president of the Russian Federation, Francis said, begging him to stop this spiral of violence and death, even out of love for his own people. Francis described his pain over the rivers of blood and tears that have been shed these last few months and over the uncontrollable global consequences of nuclear escalation. Nuclear threat, it is absurd. He also appealed to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to be open to a serious peace proposal. Sylvia Pagioli, NPR News, Rome.
Opening statements are to begin tomorrow in federal court in Washington in the trial of Stuart Rhodes. The founder of the Oath Keepers and 4 others are charged with seditious conspiracy in connection with the attack on the U.S. Capitol last year. 5 people died during and shortly after the riot. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.